Hey, podcast, welcome to another edition of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. I'm your host, Tim Esperdahl. Today, we have some really cool news. Well, I really like the news. Ram doesn't like the news. Ram doesn't like the news because the 2018 model of the Ram 2500 and 3500, the 3/4 ton and 1 ton, the very impressive 900 foot-pounds of torque, 31,210 pounds of towing, these fantastic beasts of trucks that have been selling like hotcakes are going to be delayed. Yes, that's right. The next edition of these trucks are going to be delayed in order to save some money. According to Automotive News, FCA, Fiat Chrysler America, that builds the Ram pickups, is interested in saving some cash. The way they're going to do that is they're going to hold off on retooling the Salido, Mexico plant for another year or two. What this allows them to do is instead of bringing a new product to the marketplace, they'll use the existing tools there, which bring more profit in because those tools have already been monetized across a variety of generation of truck now. And so that'll be delayed the product. And, you know, in the 3/4 and 1 ton marketplace, those products have been upgraded so much in the last couple of years, there's really not much they're going to do as far as powertrain. Now, they could delay them and take a harder look at the Ford Super Duty. The brand new Super Duty came out and hitting the marketplace right now. And that would also be another smart idea to delay. The Super Duty is the segment leader. I mean, they've set the benchmarks for the new weight, the new powertrain, the new driving and handling, the new steering. There's a weight I mean by using aluminum and reinforcing the frame. So there's a lot of new advances they've done that Super Duty that, you know, it could take a while for competitors to keep up. Not that every consumer wants everything from Ford, or maybe they're not a Ford buyer, but there's definitely some opportunities there to maybe take a breath, slow down a little bit, and go ahead and think about what they want to do as far as improving the product. And speaking of Super Duty, this is a teaser that we had a special guest today. He's going to talk all about Super Duty. Had a great time with him, so all right, that's coming up. Back to the news. The news in this segment, we're always talking about this first. Other news going on, besides the Ram being delayed, is Toyota's got a really cool thing going on. It's actually not Toyota so much corporate. It's dealers in the northeast of the country. I think it's New Jersey area. Let me look up the specific dealers that are involved. It is Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. They're the Tri-State Toyota Dealers Association. They are going to deliver 330,000 pounds of food to people who have a food insecurity. Food insecurity, as you may know, I've done work with nonprofit food banks for many years now. Food insecurities are people that don't know where the next meal is coming from. It affects one out of every eight Americans. And in Philadelphia, it actually affects one out of every five people in that area. It's a huge concern. It's not that they're going hungry. It's not that they're on the street begging for money. It's that after they pay their bills, after they pay their rent, after they pay electrical, they pay their stuff, they literally don't have enough money left to buy food for the entire month. And, you know, these are working individuals. These are not people that are trying to game the system. So it's a huge issue. It's hard to really help those people because you're trying to get them to ask for help. A lot of times they don't need it, or they don't, not that they need it, but they won't ask because there's a pride factor involved. And so the Tri-State Toyota dealers are going to step up. They're going to deliver the 330,000 pounds of food. It's 165 tons. It's going to take 75 Toyota Tundras, each towing a pallet, or each hauling a pallet of food. And it's the biggest food drive in the 10 years they've been doing that program. So I think it's really cool. It's yes, they're tying in the holidays. It's got a little spin to it. But that amount of food will last several months into the new year. And so it's going to really help out those nonprofits and really help out those people who need the food. And what's great is it keeps growing. So this year's donation of food is up more than 80,000 meals over last year. So that's really impressive. Other news items going on. Something really I want to pay attention to. So every year we give out awards. So there's North American Car and Truck of the Year, which is a huge award that we get out at the jurors give out at the North American International Auto Show, the Detroit Auto Show. That's a huge award. I'm part of like the TAWA, the Texas Auto Writer Association. We give away the Truck of Texas Award. That's a big award. I'm a part of RMAP, Rocky Mountain Automotive Press. We get an award for the Truck of Colorado kind of award. So I'm privy to a lot of these awards, and I can tell you that the one that matters most to me out of all these awards is the Truck Trend Truck of the Year Award. These are all truck guys. I know, because I freelance for them. Not part of the award, but that's okay. But it's their staff. Their staff that writes about trucks and lives with trucks every day is out testing these trucks. Right now they're putting updates on their site, and they'll announce the winner. And they'll announce the winner soon. What's great about their testing is they're doing an individual each day. They're doing hauling. They're doing 0 to 60 times on a track. They're doing fuel economy. They're giving their own personal opinion of a variety of judges. It's a really cool testing, and it's really interesting to see the differences in how when you line the trucks together. You know, a lot of times you go to a dealer lot and you see all the same brand, and that's the brand you're going to buy. Unless you go to another lot and drive something else and go back and forth, it's hard to see them all together. Even in an auto show area, if you go to like an auto show, you can see them separate in their area, but you can't really see them all lined up together. And what's cool with these tests is we line them up all together. And so they do, not me, but they line them up all together, and you can see the real differences between different models, which I think is really important for consumers going out there and buying new trucks, is you're actually going to see back-to-back-to-back-to-back comparisons, which are it's hard for me to do because I only get one vehicle at a time. It's hard for unless I go to like the Tawa event, the truck rodeo, I can see a lot of trucks back-to-back-to-back. So it's hard to really get those comparisons done really well without seeing them all together. And what's great, like I said, with the truck trend, truck of the year testing is they're going to see them all together, and you'll see them back to back to back, and it's all the latest models of that truck, of the trucks that are out there. So it's a fun event. I think it's really, like I said, really good for consumers. So check it out, trucktrend.com. I'll post the winners on pickuptrucktalk.com, and I'll talk about it probably next week's podcast. I think they're giving an award then. They may actually hold it till the North American International Auto Show. I don't remember how they do that. But in any event, I will let you know. We'll be right back with Nate Burgess. He is a Ford Super Duty customer. He actually went underneath behind the scenes with Ford. I forget what they call that. Under the emblem, something like that. I digress. He went and helped out Ford engineers develop the new Super Duty. He's a Super Duty customer. He's been their customer for years. And he gave some real world analysis, real world suggestions. He's a real customer who uses the truck. It's a great interview. We had a great time. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with that interview. And we're back with Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. I'm your host, Tim Estradol. On today's program, we have a special guest, Nate Burgess with Burgess Trenton Awning. He is in Pleasantville. How do you say it, Nate? New Jersey? Come on, give me the New Jersey.
Pleasantville, New Jersey. No accent required.
What? Come on, man. So, if you don't...
South Jersey, not North Jersey. A little different.
Oh, okay. All right. Fine. If you don't know Nate, he's one of the guys that came... what they call it, below the shield or below the emblem. They came inside Ford. He helped with the Ford Super Duty, the brand new one, on developing it. He was one of the five different customers who gave some in-depth feedback to Ford and gave him some ideas on how they could improve the truck. So welcome to the program.
Thank you. And, I'm happy to be here, Tim.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. There's a news story that came out that you were involved in that talked about the Dream Super Duty build. So, you know, you've been involved in the process, you did behind the scenes, you talked to the engineers, and then it came the time that you could design and build your own Super Duty that you wanted. So I was looking at your build, and we'll talk about this a little bit. It's a F-350 Super Duty chassis cab, a 4x2, the Super Cab XL. It's got this turbo diesel, which I want to get to that, dual rear wheel, 3.73 non-limited slip axle. All the marketing talk and things that has in this. So let's start with the first item. With your business, the chassis cab is where you want to be because you modify the beds?
Yeah. What we do, we'll throw on, depending on the truck and what it's doing exactly, at this moment we have utility boxes on the back. We have basically 8, 9, and 11 foot boxes depending on the truck and what we're equipping it with. You know, it depends on the guys we're talking to and what field they're in. Some of them like the longer body, some of them like the shorter body. So what's nice about the chassis cabs is that you can get the different rear of cab to axle lengths, and so we can actually, again, customize the trucks to the field and what area it's actually going to be in with what we do. And what's nice about the dual wheel is that it actually gives you a wider box instead of just the thinner rear wheel, so you actually can have almost nearly a 2 foot wide box on the back of the truck, and that's actually quite a bit of room for a lot of tools, you know, hardware and things like that that you might need or have to use on the road.
Okay, and you went with the F-350. Do you need that much? Is there a payload issue with the awning? I guess I wouldn't think that way, but is that why you went with the F-350?
Yeah, we have all 350s. One of the main reasons is because also if you go with the 250, you're kind of limited to an 8 foot bed option, and we like to at least be 9+. The other option is also that you do have payload, obviously, and surprisingly, the awnings get heavy over time. Matter, you know, we have weight in the truck as is. We already have 1,000 pound at least worth of tools, maybe even up to a ton worth of tools, hardware, and things like that sitting in the truck constantly. So you're already using some of the payload with that alone, just carrying it constantly. But on top of that, now we're going to throw some awnings and everything. And we don't do one or two jobs a day. We'll do 20 to, you know, even upwards of 30 a day. So that's actually quite a few pieces. A person could have one awning on their house, or they could literally have up to 20 pieces on their house. So between the canvas and the pipe, can be either aluminum pipe or galvanized pipe, it gets heavy over time. The Ford is definitely up to the task of being able to carry the payload, and, you know, it, whatever we do, you know, every day is different. We have over 800 serviceable customers that we put up and then take down at the end of the year on top of all the new work that we might be doing. So the trucks kind of need to be ready for anything we might throw them at given day. And it is year round. People might think that awnings take a break in the winter. We're fabricating awnings all year round. So I might be going out, well, literally tomorrow, and I'm going to be putting frames up. Even though it's cold and it's winter, it's a good time to get ready, because when people want their awning in the spring, it allows us to be more prepared.
And speaking of that, all that payload and weight, you went with the turbo diesel. Were you using gasoline engines before?
Yes, Tim. Yeah, we had gas engines. The big thing was Dad was all about the thought of, you know, us sounding like a bunch of school buses riding around back with the really good still 7.3-liter diesel. Everybody had these ideas that, you know, it's a diesel truck and you can hear us coming from a block away. Oh, okay, we don't even have to call the customers. But the difference now, which is so nice, I even have a 2012. Even personally, I have a few of the 6.7s. They're so quiet anymore. It actually, if you ask me, I think they're quieter than the gas motors.
Okay.
And what's really exceptionally great, I can give you a real-world comparison. Dad's truck, he has an old 2002, and it has a 5.4 in it, and it's tried and true. It's working. It's doing what it has to do. We get 7 miles to the gallon in that truck, the way it's weighed down.
Mm-hmm.
My truck, the 2012, with the 6.7-liter diesel, I actually am able to get 12+ miles per gallon in the same kind of configuration as far as weight's concerned. So literally, same style truck, double the mile per gallon almost. I mean, simple as that, just from an engine change. So I'm even more excited to get one of the 17s and see what that can do, because I know there's improvements made with the power and the torque on them. So I imagine that can also go down to the ground and give us better mile per gallon too. Yeah. But the efficiency of the truck is another thing that I like with the diesel engines. You have a truck that literally you're going to run it forever. And so we buy our trucks as an investment. We don't just buy them just to, you know, hey, we got this, you know, 100-something truck fleet. No, each truck is actually very specific, and we have to consider each purchase we make. We're not a large enough company where we can just throw money at the trucks and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
We got to make sure that we're making a conscious decision when we buy the truck, and we chose Ford for that reason.
Yeah, and, you know, the newer truck is actually all aluminum now, so there's weight savings there. And so you're shedding weight, which they actually put in a frame, so you're not shedding a lot of weight, but it's going to be more efficient, I think, than older trucks.
Yeah, definitely. So, I agree with you totally on that, Tim, because, I mean, the one thing, not to just use a phrase I continued hearing throughout the campaign, but what was really neat was they called it reinvesting the weight. Because obviously you could sit there and we could be like the 150 and you drop 700+ pounds of weight, but in the Super Duty, it still needs to be a work truck. And that's where I think Ford and the engineers really went to task, and they sat there and said, hey, you know what? We can lose weight, but we can also reposition this weight in different ways to give you a stronger frame, more durable areas of the truck, and certain things that are really under the most punishment. They improved all those areas, the brakes, the drivetrain, and things like that. So it's a reinvestment of weight, yet we still saved weight. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. And speaking of payload and all the stuff going on, you went with a 3.73 non-limited slip axle. Did the 410 enter your mind? Was there a discussion about what axle you wanted to go with?
I have the 373s on my personal trucks, and so it's just that I'm used to the way that they react and the drivability of that. I'm not doing too much highway driving. We're actually a little more city-based. Okay. So we're not taking the long trip where you would actually benefit from, you know, greater axle,
yeah, like sorry, greater gear ratios
and things sure. like that.
Yeah.
So it's one of those deals where I'm small enough and we have such a tight radius. Again, New Jersey, the most populated state. So a lot of our customers are literally on the same block, and no joke at all. I mean, we have just about 5 out of every 8 jobs that you can drive through in this area of New Jersey. So, huh. I mean, we're literally, you know, walking from door to door at some point. So the trucks get us to this place, and then, you know, from that point, it's up to us. So I think the 373 optimized the truck for the uses that we have.
Yeah. And the other thing you said in this, which I thought was kind of interesting, I'm hearing this a lot on the fleet side, is you went with the XL value package. So you can get power locks, power windows, you can get some of those creature comforts in the truck that I think fleet customers, I'm hearing from them, they're buying those packages as well. You know, yeah, it's a work truck, but you still need to live in it all day long. You know, you still exactly. need to use it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as much as we are, my father and I are owner-operator, we're very much involved. We're, you know, the American dream blue-collar kind of guys. I mean, we don't walk in with our suits or anything. We're right in the middle of the fleet ourselves. You know, we respect what our guys are doing. We want them to enjoy the truck. We don't want to just give them this bare-bones truck and say, hey, you'll get it done, you know. Or, you know, get some muscle, like roll the window down.
Right.
It feels like one of those things where, you know, they enjoy that we're actually taking care of them when we give them a truck that has certain equipment packages and certain abilities. Even though it's a work truck, you still can have some niceties. There's no reason to sit there and be bare bones about it. And what's really cool is that I really do feel as though Ford stretches your dollar, too. You know, pound for pound, there's no question that the Ford gives you the most options in any given package. And so that's what's really neat, too. When you get the XL equipment package, you're getting the telescoping mirrors, and you're getting the heated mirrors and things like that. And just little, you know, accoutrements that are actually pretty awesome and usable, and things that you can actually be thankful that the truck has. And as I said, we're year-round. So when there is a winter up here in the Northeast, you want to be able to have, you know, certain things that are the, you know, rapid cab heat or stuff like that, where the yeah. crab gets a little bit warmer. Why not have it? If you can option it, go for it. So it's really neat that Ford actually offers as many options as they do all the way through all the trim levels of the truck.
Yeah, I was actually just looking at that rapid heat supplemental cab heater that you had listed as an option you wanted. You know, I'm in western Nebraska, and it gets cold out here. We get winter. And I don't know, your Jersey boys getting these cab heaters. I don't know about you guys out there.
Dude, okay. Listen, what we're going to do is when it gets cold, I'm actually going to bring you out here, and I'm going to put you in the trucks that don't have the cab heater, and then we'll talk about it when we're in them.
That sounds like a deal. That's a deal. Perfect. Well, thanks, Nate, for being on the program today. Next time I'll talk to you from New Jersey. We'll both be in covered overalls and checking out the wintertime.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, thank you so much, Tim. And anytime you want any more input on the Fords, I'd be more than happy to share.
And thanks. We'll be right back with more. And finally on today's show, I want to talk to you about what I've been driving around lately. I've been in a 2017 GMC Acadia Denali. I do have the all-wheel drive version of this. Denali doesn't just mean Yukon, all right? You say that word a lot, like I'm driving a Denali, people think you're driving a Yukon. No, the Denali is get you trim level, newsflash, trim level. And you can buy it in different types of vehicles in the GMC lineup. So you have the Terrain, the Acadia, the Yukon, Yukon XL, and the Sierra. You can buy all in the Denali. And the numbers are incredible on this. I was talking to the Sierra heavy duty guys at one time, and they were like, I think the number was like 50% of Sierra heavy duties sold are Denali trim level. And you're talking, that's an expensive truck. I mean, just in the Acadia, let me tell you this. The Acadia in the base SL package starts at $29,995 in the front wheel drive. In the Denali, it's $45,845. Think about that. You're looking at under 30, and you're talking mid-40s to get the Denali. And there's different trim levels. You have the SL1, SL2, SLE. I mean, you can feature as much as you want, but the Denali is the one that gives you all the styling upgrades. You know, you get the signature Denali grill, so it's that cross mesh grill. It's a really sharp looking grill. You have the 8-inch color touch screen navigation, 20-inch polished aluminum wheels. It's got the brighter roof rails. It gives it a nice kind of look. It's got more chrome along the front as well. It's got the chrome accents around the headlamps. It's got power adjustable heated mirrors with body coloring. The body color matches the mirrors. You have the power liftgate. I mean, you have all the packages, and you have the interior that just, it's luxurious. It literally, this should be a competitor to like a Lexus or a BMW. It's less about the GMC. That's the interesting thing of GMC brand is they have starters, and then they have Denali. It's a wide brand. It's got 3.6 liter V6 in it. It's mated to, what does it say? It should be an, I believe it's a 6-speed transmission. Let me look that up. Yep, 6-speed automatic transmission. I do have the all-wheel drive version, as I found out. It snowed here overnight, and tried to do a couple donuts, and no one to do any donuts. Funny how that all-wheel drive and traction control kind of kicks in. It's 310 horsepower, 271 foot-pounds of torque. I can tell you that unless you put your foot into it, it does feel a little sluggish off the line. And it's probably just because, you know, it's snow and things going on here. I've been hesitant on putting my foot into it. But when you do put your foot into it, you do get all the 271 horsepower feet of torque. I mean, it definitely comes alive. I just find that I've been finding that in daily kind of driving, kind of going around, it's not fast. But you're not expecting it to be fast. I mean, it's a natural aspirated 3.6 liter V6. So it doesn't have the turbos that, say, the EcoBoost has. It doesn't have the diesel kind of low end torque. So it's a different type of driving than maybe I've been used to lately, because I've been driving all these turbocharged or big engine things. And it is very smooth. It's very smooth driving around. The interior is really comfortable. It's really roomy inside. I didn't realize it actually had third row. And I kind of knew it did. But I got some groceries today, and I saw the third row seat, so I'm going to go ahead and have my kids hop in there, because maybe I'm assuming, and maybe I shouldn't, but this is not the kind of vehicle that adults fit in third row really well. But that's not what I want to be back there for anyways. I'm not a fan of sitting and crunching in third rows. But it's definitely a good fit for kids. And my middle son loves, or my older son, loves to hop in the back and ride along, because he loves the third row seating. Overall, I think it's a good SUV. It's got the plenty of room. It's got storage room. It's got third row optional seats. It's a comfortable, smooth drive. It's got really good visibility from the driver. The A-pillar, it can stick out a little bit and kind of block a little bit of view, but you have really good side windows, really good front windows. I had a long drive the other night. I actually took it hunting, and I came back, and I drove, I don't know, like 20 miles in the dark on a dirt road, spiraling switchbacks and things. I was told it was a faster way home. I don't agree. It was a different drive by moonlight kind of stuff with these switchbacks in the middle of Nebraska. And I will tell you that it held its own. I mean, I felt comfortable. I felt like I had plenty of control. I felt the all-wheel drive kick in a few times as the back end got a little squirrely. I didn't have any issues there, and I wasn't really that fatigued when I got back. I was more frustrated at how long the drive took. it's got that, it definitely gave me peace of mind. And I was just playing with today. It's got the 4G LTE Wi-Fi in it. I will tell you that as a truck guy, I didn't think much of the 4G LTE Wi-Fi. And it's still a nice feature to have. I can tell you that we're gonna drive to Denver tomorrow. And that's going to be, or Saturday, excuse me. It's a 3.5-hour drive there and 3.5-hour drive back. And with the kids, their Kindles and the Wi-Fi, it's probably going to be more of a smooth trip. It's amazing how this Wi-Fi thing, and not everybody's doing it, but GM has really talked about it. GMC and Chevy have really talked about it. How it really does make a difference in your lifestyle. It really does improve how much you like the vehicle. I don't want to pay for it. I'm glad they paid for that, because I don't know what the charges are, and I need to figure that out someday, because it's interesting. But because we have all data plans, and you have things that you could use instead, you can make a hotspot of your phone. But having it in the vehicle, having it on the, you just press the button, you log right into the Wi-Fi, and you're good to go. It's definitely a really good convenience factor, and something you really need to look for in your next vehicle, especially if you have kids, especially if you're long distance driving. Ease and convenience is a big thing these days in vehicles. Driver fatigue, you know, I talk about that quite a bit. And so you have a smooth performing SUV. You have three rows optional. You have the Wi-Fi connected Wi-Fi. You have a really luxurious interior, and you have pretty decent fuel economy. The EPA ratings is 18, 20, 25. As many as you know, when I drive to Denver, I'm going through Cheyenne and going down south of Cheyenne. I'll be pushing it to try to get that 25. It's usually most vehicles, a couple mile per gallon less than that. And it's because of driving conditions. I'm driving 80 miles an hour. I'm going up 3,000 feet. You know, the vehicles aren't just, they're just not built for that. The EPA testing cycle is like 65 miles per hour. And so when you get more than that, you're really pushing the fuel economy. And I'll be interested to see how the 6-speed is set up for that to see if I get that fuel economy. I'll have more about that next week. It's the vehicle, total vehicle price is $50,885. Sorry, the print on this Monroney I'm looking at is a little tough to read. It's got the optional technology package, which says adaptive cruise control, which is my favorite feature. Automatic collision preparation. What that allows you, it precharges the brakes. So if something, you know, happens, the vehicle is ready to go. And no, I will not be testing that feature out. It's got, I had somebody email me that once. They want me to test out the forward collision alert on a vehicle. And I'm not doing that. It's got a good stereo system. It's got the XM. It's got I've been playing with the infotainment they have, and it works all right. It was interesting. I was doing navigation the other day, and I have my hunting gloves on, and I was able to actually press the big button and get the navigation to pull up. I wasn't able to work with navigation too well with my gloves on. I had to take them off to make it all work. But it was good to be able to press the button. They have these really big icons. It's good to press the button with gloves on because it's been cold. I mean, it's been 10 degrees when I'm driving home. I have used the heated seats quite a bit, and I have used the heated steering wheel. I'll tell you, the heated steering wheel works really well. Heated seats take a little bit to warm up. I would like those to be a little bit hotter. But it's, you know, when you're hopping in after being out in the cold and deer hunting and it's 10 degrees, it's going to take a little while for things to warm up. So overall, it's a good vehicle. I would recommend looking at it, take a look at it in dealerships. My only hesitation on the vehicle is I'm just not a big fan of styling. The exterior styling doesn't do a lot for me. But that's a personal opinion. So if it looks good to you, it's something you want to check out. And like I said, I'm going to drive next week, drive over the weekend, and I will get back to you next week, and we'll talk about the fuel economy, we'll talk about the Wi-Fi going down, make sure it all works. And that's it for this week's show. So thanks for tuning in. Make sure you check us out on pickuptrucktalk.com. Make sure you check us out on Facebook on Pickup Truck Talk. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You'll notice a change in iTunes. I did some work on it earlier this week. All of our podcasts now are on the automotive segment of iTunes. So that's the right segment instead of news and politics, whatever is on with the old host. Took care of that. That's done. If I don't hear from you and I don't talk to you, have a happy holidays, and I'll see you next week. We'll be right back.